Welcome to my commentary on Paul's letter to the disciples in the province of Galatia, otherwise known as the Book of Galatians. We're now in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, and we will go through to verse 15. Verse 7 says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" Now, once again, Paul is saying that what he is teaching is the truth. And again, that's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that one is saved and stays saved only by faith in Jesus and not by obeying the law of Moses. Somebody has cut in. Paul often speaks in terms of athletic endeavors, sports, and he often speaks of running a marathon. And it's like these guys are in their lane running, and somebody, and in this paragraph we will see some particular one person, has cut in to their lane to cause them to stumble. Verse 8, "That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you." The one who calls you, we spoke about that in chapter 1. That's not Paul, it's God himself through the Holy Spirit. He is the one who calls people to salvation. Paul is saying that the one who is cut in, the one who is the leader amongst the false prophets, what he is teaching is not from God. His teaching isn't from God, and he himself is not from God. Now, these are Jews who claim to be Christian, but they say salvation to be maintained must be through the law of Moses. And Paul says that person who is teaching that is not from God. Very strong language. 9. "A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough." Simply put, it doesn't take too much of a false doctrine to infiltrate the body of Christ and to spread. And especially in today's world where many, if not the majority of Christians, are biblically illiterate, it's not hard to spread false doctrine. Verse 10, "I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view." Paul is confident in the Lord. Now, we've seen him in the prior verses being pretty worried and pretty concerned, and he even feared for their salvation. So I think we have a bit of a dichotomy here. On one hand, Paul is really scared that these people are blowing it. But on the other hand, he does have confidence in the Lord. He may not have a lot of confidence right now in these Galatians, but in the Lord, well, that's a different story. It's quite possible that Paul made this statement as a means of encouragement. He's been pretty harsh on these Galatians, and maybe he's just trying to be a little bit encouraging here. Verse 10 continues, "The one who is throwing you into confusion," see, there is one ringleader, "the one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be." It's like Paul may not be quite sure who the ringleader is, but he says he will pay the penalty. Well, who's going to give him the penalty? It's God himself. It's not Paul's job. It's not your job or my job to penalize a false teacher. It's our job to expose the false teacher along with the false doctrine. Some people today have difficulties naming specific people by name who are teaching false doctrine. Paul has no problem with that. If he knows the person, he will speak it. He actually does give a couple names of false teachers in other letters that he has written. 11. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Now, this is a bit of a difficult verse to understand because we know Paul isn't preaching circumcision. So why would he say, if I am still preaching circumcision? Well, this is what the false teachers might have been saying to make Paul look bad in front of the Galatians. See, Paul in Acts 16 had Timothy circumcised. As I said earlier, it was only so that Timothy was more accepted among the Jews so he could more effectively preach the gospel to the Jews. We learned earlier in the book of Galatians that Paul did not have Titus circumcised because when that issue came up, if he had been circumcised, it would have been in the context of maintaining Titus's salvation. So there's no way that Paul would have circumcised Titus under those circumstances. He did get Timothy circumcised, but not for the purpose of maintaining his salvation, strictly for the purpose of being more effective amongst the Jews. And that was the only reason. So the false teachers may have picked up on this and told the Galatians, listen, Paul's telling you guys you don't need to be circumcised, but you know what? Behind your back, he has circumcised other people like Timothy. That seems to be the reason for this phrase. Now, Paul says, if I'm still really preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? The answer is obvious. Paul is being persecuted, but it is not because he's schizophrenic, teaching one group not to be circumcised and teaching another group to be circumcised. Verse continues, in that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. We need to understand that the cross of Christ is offensive to many people. It was in Paul's day, and it is in our day. The cross of Jesus is offensive. You can stand up pretty well anywhere and talk about God, and you're fine. You talk about Jesus, and especially his atoning death on the cross, then things aren't so fine. You can say God in a public school classroom, but you can't say Jesus. The cross is very offensive. And the difficulty these days is Christians are speaking more about God and less about Jesus and even less about the cross. That cannot continue. Many people believe in God, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the God who sent Jesus to the cross. The cross is offensive. And Paul is saying, if I was still teaching circumcision, then that offense of the cross would be abolished. The cross wouldn't be offensive anymore, because it would be useless. That's one of Paul's main points in the book of Galatians. If you obey the law of Moses for the purpose of salvation, or even for the purpose of not feeling guilty, then you have laid aside the cross of Christ, and it no longer becomes an offense because it's useless. Verse 12. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Now, Paul is being a little facetious maybe or whatever, but he's simply saying those agitators, those false teachers, if they want to cut off the foreskin of your penis, I just wish they'd go all the way and cut the whole penis right off. That's what Paul is saying here. I can imagine some people would have been shaking their heads at this point. Verse 13, you, my brothers, and he's still calling them brothers, were called to be free. Again, this is not freedom to sing, dance, or do any such thing in a worship service. It's free from the law of Moses. And as Paul says elsewhere, free to serve the Lord. You cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. And Paul would say, you can't serve the law and you can't serve Jesus at the same time. You must be free from the law in order to serve Jesus. But do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. See, the critics of Paul say, okay, and I hear the same critics today as I speak to more Jewish-orientated Christians. They would say, okay, if you don't have the law of Moses, then you can go out and sin because you have no law. Well, that's ridiculous because that's not what Paul is saying. You're free from the law, but that gives you no excuse to serve your sinful flesh. See, being free from the law is only half the story. The other half of the story is you're free because you can't serve two masters. You're free from the law so you can serve Jesus and obey him. And as I've said before, many evangelicals claim to have obeyed the Ten Commandments. Well, Jesus has redefined the Ten Commandments. For example, the law says, don't kill. Jesus says, if you get angry with somebody in your heart and have no real reason to be angry, then you've broken that commandment. So there you go. Pretty well everybody's broken that commandment. So you're forsaking the law, but you're coming under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore you have no excuse to give in to sinful nature. But to serve one another in love, see, that's what Paul said a few verses ago. The faith that we have in the Lord Jesus is expressed in the love that we have to others. The book of 1 John, that's what basically it's all about. If you really love the Lord, that love will be demonstrated and seen in the way you love your brothers in Christ and then those who you come in contact with on a daily basis. Faith is expressed in love. If you want to see how much faith somebody has, see how much love they exhibit. 14. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that himself. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is no excuse to love yourself in a selfish way. The modern trend today is you gotta love yourself before you can love somebody else. That is not scriptural. What Paul is saying here, what Jesus said, they both understand human nature is to love yourself first. That's just pure human nature. So Paul is saying, as you love yourself in that same intensity, love others. Verse 15, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Apparently, there's some problems in the province of Galatia amongst the Christians. It's obviously due to the fact that the false teachers have come in and caused a lot of strife. Paul is saying, if you keep on backbiting, you will eventually destroy each other. And that is a simple principle in the body of Christ that is still important today. And it's very important because Christians do go behind each other's backs and they backbite and they devour each other. And that's one reason why the body of Christ is not as effective as it should be. We have one denomination putting down another. We have groups within so-called churches putting down other groups. We have individuals putting down individuals. Sooner or later, that destroys the body of Christ. And I like body of Christ much better than church, because we should be an effective, working, living organism called the body of Christ. And each part of that body, if it is fighting each other, then that body is basically disabled. And that's the way much of the church is today. Again, for more information, visit my Galatians website on stevesweetman.com.